So when you think about New Testament worship, when you think about worshiping as the church did in the New Testament, you think about all of the different elements, all of the different avenues by which we get to worship God. And it sort of makes sense that in a worship to God that you're going to pray. Does that sort of make sense that there's going to be prayer, that at some point in that worship service that we're going to be talking to God in prayer? And it probably makes sense, maybe not to you, but it probably makes sense that there's going to be some kind of preaching. I mean, prayer is talking to God, and in essence, preaching is when the Word of God is used so that God can talk to us in our lives. So you would expect there to be those kind of things in a worship service. Perhaps, you know, the Lord's Supper is one of those things that doesn't make sense to the world why we do it. But as Christians, we know why we do it, and we know its significance. And even back in the Old Testament, individuals were giving to God as a sign of their love and their devotion to Him. But when you think about singing and worship, why do we sing in worship? What is singing all about, and what is its purpose as a part of our worship? And when I first was writing this out and writing my notes, I put the title of this class as Singing in Worship, which is an okay title and would have worked. What that was talking about was using worship as talking about the service, the worship service, the worship time. But as more I looked at that, I thought, no, I'm not trying to talk about singing in worship. I want us to talk about and think about singing as worship. What's the difference? When we're singing, we are worshiping God. That's the design of it. Now, take your mind this isn't a good thing to say, but take your mind out of the worship service. Take your mind out of the Christian realm. When else do we sing? When else do we sing? In the shower. All right. This isn't confession time, but apparently it is. All right. So in the car. So we sing in the shower. We sing in the car. When else do we sing? When we're happy. When else? Say again. Oh, singing with the kids, like lullabies to the kids. Please go to sleep. Please go to sleep. I'm going crazy. Please go to sleep. Say again. Kids sing in school. Say again. Funerals. Oh, wow. All right. Birthdays. All right. Johnny. Weddings. When we're sad. Do we sing when we're sad? Celebrations in general. Sing because I'm happy. Take me out to the ball game. Do we sing at sporting events? We sing it a lot. Now, what's going on when we're singing at all of these venues? Well, probably a lot of different things. What's going on in our minds and our emotions? We sing because it's tied to our emotions. I guess you could go to a football game, baseball game, whatever, and someone could get to the microphone and read the words to the Star Spangled Banner. You know, I guess somebody could just read the words. Would that be as meaningful as singing the words? It's the same thing, isn't it? It's just words. What if you gather around, Jerry mentioned, what if you gather around the birthday cake and somebody just says, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joel. Happy birthday. Why do we have to sing that? Because there's something about singing that's different than just talking. It's tied, and you can't figure it all of it out and explain it all, but it's tied to our emotions. So think about with me for just a couple minutes. And we're going to sing a couple songs as a part of this class this morning. But I want you to think with me, when are some times in the Bible when you remember some people singing in the Bible? Say again. Paul and Silas. That's on. I'm not going to put my list up yet, but because then you'll have the whole list. But that's when Paul and Silas were singing. Were they singing Happy Birthday? No, I don't think so. Were they singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game"? Where were they when they were singing? They're in prison. All right, so somebody mentioned that we sing when we're sad. Somebody mentioned that we sing when we're happy. What were they? Wow, dead silence. I asked, I mean, I gave you two options in dead silence.
They were sad and trying to get happy.
Do you think they were sad? If your back had just been beaten with a whip, would you be sad? Were they happy? Why were their backs beaten with a whip? Because they'd been preaching about Jesus. Does that make you happy? Were they singing in the prison because they read a Bible verse that God says, sing and make melody in your heart? Okay, I'll do it. Is that why they were singing in the prison? That verse was still in process. Why were they singing? It's just part of their emotions. It's part of who they were. It's an opportunity to sing and to praise God. Okay, when else in the Bible did people sing? Where? All right, before they went out in Matthew chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26, what verse is it? I've lost. It's Mark chapter 14, verse 30. And it's Matthew chapter 26. I've lost the verse. But it says they sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. Why did they sing a hymn? Again, there's emotions involved in that. Matthew 26, 30, Mark 14, 26. Somebody check that, Grayson. 26, 30, 14, 26. Anyway, sorry, that's just bothering me. That's not me trying to say it just bothers me when I can't remember. When else did they sing? Okay, so David's bringing the ark back into Jerusalem in the Old Testament, and there was singing, there was celebration going on. When else? The book of Psalms. It's a whole book of singing. When else? Singing around Jericho. When else did they sing? Sang in the temple. All right. I put a few on the list. I didn't try to come up with an exhaustive list. They sang when they crossed the Red Sea. We call it the Song of Moses, but they say Moses and Israel. Why were they singing? If you're happy, I mean, were they excited? Do y'all know the song about, you know, what's about the devil sitting on a tack? You know, being excited about seeing the devil sit on. One, they had just seen the Red Sea parted. Two, they had just been saved by God. Three, they had just seen their enemy drowning. Which one were they singing about? They're excited about victory, and they're excited about the defeat of their enemy. And it's just they break into song. David was singing when he brought the ark in, and in Psalm 20. 2 Samuel chapter 22, it's actually tied to Psalm 18. David was singing because the very first verse of this song, the very first verse of the chapter says that he was singing because God had given him victory over his enemies. So there's joy, there's excitement in singing to God. In Ezra chapter 3, you remember the context of Ezra chapter 3? God's people have come back from Babylon. What had happened to the temple 70 years earlier? That temple had been destroyed. So they come back from Babylon, and they, in Ezra chapter 3, they lay the foundation of the temple again. And what did the priests and the Levites do? They started singing when they saw the foundation of the temple. Why? Because there was joy at the anticipation of what that meant. What about Luke chapter 1? Scripture does not call this a song, but when Mary heard that she's going to have the Son of God, when Mary visits with Elizabeth and Elizabeth says those gracious things about Mary and who she is and who she's going to be, what does Mary do? I think this is a song. It's not called a song in Scripture. You'll have a heading in your Bible that's put there by man that calls it a song. It seems to be a song. Why? Was she overcome with emotion? You're not just going to have a baby. You're going to have the Son of God. And she begins singing to God. Here's Paul and Silas singing in prison. And then the book of Revelation talks about around the throne of God, that what's going on? Singing and praise to God. And that's just the heavenly beings that are there. And then John got a vision of the redeemed of Christ in heaven. And what were they doing? They're singing. So there's a lot of times in Scripture where you read about people singing. Were they doing it because they had to do it? I'm not sure that we read about many people in Scripture doing it because they had to do it. They were doing it because they wanted to do it. Because they felt a draw to their God, and they could have expressed it just in a sentence. They could have just said words. But there's something different about singing it. So I wanted to kind of talk about that for just a minute and just think about others in Scripture that we know. So do we sing for some of the same reasons that they sang? Yeah. The reasons we sing are the same reasons that they sang. The very first reason that we ought to sing to God is in order that we might praise God. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. You probably know these other verses up here a little bit better. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. By the way, those two verses, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, the last three words of both of those verses, the last three words of both verses are to the Lord. So when we're singing, who is it directed to first and foremost? To the Lord. But look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of God, a sacrifice of praise to God. When we're singing, what are we doing? We're offering a sacrifice. What is that sacrifice? It's praise. Who's it offered to? God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And so first and foremost, the purpose, the reason that we sing is to glorify and to praise God. Secondly, we sing in order to edify each other. And that's the focus of Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, is speaking to one another. So it's not just to the Lord, it's to each other. We need to think about that when we're singing. We need to think about the words that we're singing. They're to God, but some songs are designed to each other. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. Is that a song we're singing to God? Of course, all the songs we sing are to God. Is that a song we might be singing to each other? Each day I'll do a golden deed. Do I need to hear you singing that? You need to hear me singing that? We're edifying, we're encouraging each other. We're trying to unite together with one another. And then just a third purpose, and I put these in what I think is perhaps a proper order. You could put them in a different order if you wanted to. But I think singing is designed to draw us closer to God. Again, we could just read a sentence. We could just say the words. But there's something about singing them that draws you in. That's why you don't just say happy birthday to you, happy birthday. I mean, what if you took turns and everybody said that around the room? I mean, the cake's going to burn down. But when everybody joins in and sings it together, it's why do we sing? Praise our God. Why do we sing? Encourage each other. Why do we sing? To draw closer to God. So real quick, before we get to a couple songs today, how do we sound when we sing? Some of you say, not so good. Some of you might say, that's why I don't sing. I don't sound good. When we sing, how do we sound to each other? Somebody says, well, it's better for folks not to sit around me. They will be able to worship God better if they're not sitting around me. Wrong. You know what we need? We need all of us singing together, regardless of how we sound. When we're concerned about how we sound in the ears, what is that? What are we concerned about? Self? I don't know, you know, other people aren't going to think that I sing very pretty. What does that matter? Is that stopping you from singing in your car? Is that stopping you from singing in the shower? Well, my shower is not going to think I sound very pretty. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're trying to join. What are our purposes? We're trying to join together in glorifying and praising God and in encouraging and edifying each other. And we're doing it together. And so when we sing together, we need to listen to each other's words. More important than how we sound, that's in the parts, more important than the tone are the words. We need to hear each other saying, each day I'll do a golden deed. I need to hear those words from all of us singing them together. We need to hear those words when we say that our God is worthy of our praise. We need to hear those words. We need to hear those words when we sing how great thou art. We need to hear the words of us saying it. Now, do we have different parts? Do men and women sound different when they sing? Sure, certainly they do. In our songbook, our songbooks and the PowerPoint are written with soprano, alto, tenor, bass, and you might hear that and think, I have no part. I have no idea what part I sing. You sing the words that are on the screen. That's the main focus. And if you can listen to, if you're a lady and can listen to other ladies and sing with them, or if you're a man and can listen to other men sing the part, that's great. But the main focus is we got to sing the words. And we need to sing for the encouragement of each other. I think it's important for us to learn the parts. And we're not going to talk so much about that today. We've done that in other places. I think it's important for us to learn the parts and to learn the parts that we need to sing as we go through that. And that'll be another time. But how do we sound to God? Is that not the most important part? How do we sound to God? What does God hear? God hears the words. Is this working? Bob, I've lost it. Somebody said you lost it a long time ago, David. There we go. God hears the words. We hear the words. God hears the words. God needs to hear us singing the words. And as somebody said, what God hears are those words coming from our heart. And Bob, I'm going to let you push the button again. I don't know what's going on, if it's the remote or the receiver. But God hears our words, and God hears our heart. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, those go together, be acceptable in your sight. And that needs to be our focus. We need to think about the words, and when we think about the words, they're coming from our heart. And it's not just that we are concerned about how we sound to each other. We're more concerned about how do we sound to God. Do I mean it when I say, each day I'll do a golden deed? Or am I just singing that because that's the words on the screen? I've got to mean it when I sing it to my God. So really quick, let me give you just some background. And Bob, just put the next screen up. I don't know why the remote's not working. Hopefully we'll figure this out. Just go ahead and put everything up there because I'm going to zip through it. You've got the full screen over there. So we're trying to teach some new songs. We've been doing this in our family and youth singing for the last few years, and we've been able to introduce some of those into our worship. And so this morning we want to try to get to, we may not be able to get to all three this morning. We'll try to do at least two other songs this morning. How many of you clicked on the links that were sent out in the email a couple days ago and listened to the songs? Awesome. Thank you for doing that. We sent that out to our members with three links to three songs. And the design of that was to help you to get to hear them and to get to know them before we try to sing them. There are tons of new songs out there, a lot of really good songs out there. But we need to be choosy about the songs that we sing. There are some of those new songs that they're not scriptural. Which means you got to look at the words and say, okay, is that really what the scripture teaches? There's a lot of new songs out there that teach things about the Holy Spirit in the song that's not according to Scripture, teach things about salvation that's not according to Scripture. So we don't want to sing songs to God that are not what God has said in His Word. So we want to make sure they're scriptural. Some of these new songs are really pretty, but they're not written for a congregation trying to sing them together. They're written for a professional singing group. They're written for some kind of a praise team. They're written for some kind of a band in order to play. And they just don't work for congregational singing. They're pretty songs and probably have good words and even scriptural words, but not necessarily ones that fit within a congregation trying to sing them together. And so we're not going to try to sing those songs. We're going to try to sing songs that we consider easier songs. That as a congregation, we are capable of singing. We're trying to only introduce very few at a time just so we can sing them over and over and over and learn them. The more times we can sing them, the more familiar we can become with them. And that's why we have those Sunday night singings with family and youth. That's not just for our youth group. That's for the whole church to learn some of these new songs. And that's why we have occasional times like this to try to do some singing. So, Bob, if you'll put the next slide up, we're not doing these two songs today, but if you want a couple QR codes for two more songs that we're going to be trying, you can take a picture of this, or you can go to the PowerPoint later this week and grab these. Will be two other. We're not going to do them this week. We're not going to do them maybe for a couple weeks, but those are the next ones that are on our list to try. So, Bob, if you'll pull up All to Us, how many of you all listened to All to Us? You listened to All to Us this past week? All right. Some of you did good. It's a song that is fairly easy as far as the words go and as far as the notes go. But what we want to do is, by show of hands, most of you didn't hear this song. Most of you are not familiar with this song. So what I've asked Bob to do, and this is not a worship service. That's going to be at 10 o'clock. But what I've asked Bob to do is Bob is going to play this song so that you can hear it. Okay? So he's got a version of the song sung by a group. He's going to play it so that you can hear it and you can follow along with it on the screen, because most of you have not seen this song. So just listen to it. The first time through, just listen. All right? Follow it on the screen. Bob's going to try to sync his PowerPoint and Spotify skills back there to follow along. And see if you can get the gist of the song. It's only about 3.5 minutes long. But let's see if we can learn this song. So Bob, go ahead and play the song.
Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe. See you. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure.